O God, you have made our world and seen that it is good. Grant to us, created to complete your work, the bright, delightful vision that makes us care for what we do. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, since the new year, we have been following Jesus as he begins his public ministry. After the three events associated with the Epiphany, the Magi, Jesus' baptism, and the miracle at the wedding at Cana, we have journeyed with Jesus back to Nazareth. That was an event that, despite a promising start, didn't turn out so well for our hometown boy. Unlike the accounts in Matthew and Mark, Jesus doesn't begin to call his first disciples until after he has begun to develop a reputation for himself. Once all that has happened, last week we began to hear the teaching of Jesus, a teaching which continues in our gospel reading today. In contrast to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, the account in Luke has Jesus gathering with his followers on a level place. It is therefore known as the Sermon on the Plain. Like the corresponding event in Matthew, it is an extended teaching. In Luke, it is more than half of chapter 6, and we are at the very beginning of it in our reading. Matthew begins the teaching with 9 Beatitudes, blessings with which I think most of us are quite familiar. Anyone have grandparents with the Beatitudes hanging on the wall when you were a kid? Luke begins his teaching with Jesus proclaiming 4 Beatitudes, or blessings, followed by 4 woes. It seems the blessings are directed to the poor, while the woes are specifically directed to the rich, the successful, and the content. It gives us yet again a degree of insight into some of the common and recurring themes in Luke's narrative. Recall, Luke, throughout this gospel, gives particular attention to the poor, the outcast, and the marginalized. We heard it in the Song of Mary, the Magnificat, only recorded in Luke, which proclaims that God will put down the mighty and exalt the humble and meek. The hungry will be filled with good things, but the rich will be sent empty away. We saw it at the Nativity, when the first witnesses to the astounding news of the birth of this special child are shepherds in the fields, among the lowliest of peasants, yet given a vision of the glory of God in the night sky while being sung to by a choir of angels. We heard it when Jesus returned to Nazareth and proclaimed in the synagogue that he was anointed by God to bring good news to the poor. It should come as no surprise to hear it in Jesus' teaching now. Our lesson today follows immediately after the reading from last week. Jesus now expands on his teaching, and in so doing gives us our first lesson in the radical good news he will preach and teach throughout his ministry. He begins with 4 astounding exhortations. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. All this leads to what we have come to call the golden rule. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Right from the start, we hear the radical message that contrasts the ways of the kingdoms of this world with the ways of the kingdom of God. The message that turns everything upside down. Throughout human history, violence and vengeance have seemed to plague us almost without ceasing. We record our history in terms of wars and conflicts, empires and rulers. There is almost always an armed conflict going on somewhere in the world, usually several. Whenever we feel wronged or cheated, we usually first turn to thoughts of recompense and retribution, whether we be individuals, communities, or nations. Historic deadly feuds are the stuff of drama and legends. We all know the Hatfields and the McCoys. the Montagues and the Capulets. Laws concerning victim retribution and offender punishment are as old as civilization itself. Perhaps the best known was the Code of Hammurabi, enacted nearly 4,000 years ago. While seemingly harsh to modern sensibilities, it actually sought to limit what punishment could be exacted and prevent long-term intergenerational vengeance feuds. We know it best as an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But as pointed out in a statement often attributed to Mahatma Gandhi, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth will lead to a world of people who are blind and toothless. We live once again in times of apparently increasing anger and hostility. Violence seems rampant. Mass shootings and gun violence occur so regularly we barely pay attention to them anymore. Division and discord are the order of the day, creating an atmosphere of often violent and occasional lethal disagreement. We talk of walls and barriers rather than openness and understanding. Segments of our population find themselves in confrontation with others, be it on racial, economic, or political grounds, just to name a few points of conflict. Too many people go to bed hungry every night, and too many are not secure in their beds when they do. Distrust of neighbor is not limited to the street upon which we live. It is now becoming a global enterprise. Armed conflict trumps diplomacy. There is talk of reviving a nuclear arms race, a proposition to the detriment of all. But really, it has pretty much always been so. The weapons are deadlier, the bombs are bigger, but the mindset is the same. Jesus teaches us it doesn't have to be so. Jesus is telling us things are different in the kingdom of God. God is a God of overwhelming love and compassion, just as God overflows with abundant grace and blessing. Jesus invites us into that special relationship he shares with God, that it may be shared with each of us. Being in that relationship allows us to come to know that we are all children of God, beloved and treasured. As children of God, we are then called to reflect that love to others, to live as God would have us live, to acknowledge the spark of the divine in others as well. We are called then to be in a new relationship with each other. Jesus teaches us how to do that. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Know that God loves all creation, even that part you consider to be your enemy. Jesus calls us to help manifest the kingdom of God here and now. It has already begun. It is not yet finished. But it is still a radical message, and it will indeed turn the world upside down.